Blog Talk Radio.
Wrapped up our first 40, and now we're in overtime. Black, are there any stories that you want to bring into overtime that we didn't cover in the first 40?
Yeah, I heard something interesting a couple of days ago, man. I guess someone asked Michael Jordan about his feelings towards Stephon Curry, and Michael Jordan said he's a great player, but he's not a Hall of Famer. And in typical Michael Jordan fashion, man, to say something like that, like, you know, the man's a Hall of Famer, but, I mean, he's a great player, but he's not a Hall of Famer yet. I'll just put that out there and see what your teammates say.
I think he was sipping on his own tequila and, you know, like the sky's the roof kind of statement. Ice, what do you think about this, man? Because I think, in my personal opinion, Steph Curry can stop playing today. He's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. No question. No question at all. One of the best shooters I've ever seen that played in the NBA. But, Ice, what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, but see, my problem with this is, and this was all on Jordan, so it wasn't like they made him say this, but I could see where he might say something crazy like, well, you know, I don't see this. He has his own opinion. My only problem with it is, why are we even talking about Hall of Fame right now? And I think that, and granted that Jordan must have brought it out, but I think he definitely, Steph Curry has earned the right to be considered Hall of Famer right now because he's changed the game, the way that the game is seen. But to put him up there right now and kind of go like, he's not a Hall of Famer yet, does that mean because he's not done? I would like to see Michael Jordan expound a little bit on that more. It may be because he's not done, but clearly he is. If you were to stop his career right now, Steph Curry would be a Hall of Famer. But I don't even like talking about that because it gets controversial. He has a lot more things to do. Takes away from, I think, who he is as a player right now, too.
So my thing, I'm going to go back to you on this one, Black, but if Scottie Pippen never played with the Bulls, I don't think Scottie Pippen would have the same career that Steph Curry would have. And so I always felt he shouldn't have been in the top 50, and Scottie Pippen shouldn't be a Hall of Famer. But what are your thoughts about this, Black?
No, I agree with you on definitely Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen would not have been half the player that he was if he wasn't with Michael Jordan basically playing as Robin. And I don't think he's a Hall of Famer either, but, you know, Hall of Fame in the NBA is really subjective. But to me, it's Michael Jordan just throwing off some hate. Michael Jordan is a very bitter individual. As much as he wants to act like, you know, he's not, if you go back and listen to his Hall of Fame speech, his whole thing was about vindicating people that he felt like that said something about him or whatever. And it's very childish. And it's even childish now. I mean, it's like, even say the fact that the man is great and there was no need to come out and say he's not a Hall of Famer. But it's like he wants to kind of give him a compliment at the same time wants to smack him in the back of the head. But, Mike, you can't be taking away something about you being an owner, bro. What have you done with the Charlotte Hornets since you basically have part ownership or full ownership of that franchise? They haven't even sniffed the playoff majority of the time. Now, but somebody say that about him, he's ready to ban you off the face of the earth. So this is Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan typically. He's not ever going to kind of give anybody this just due. So I wasn't surprised. I just think it's stupid. Like you know, like you said, Boom, if he stopped playing tonight, the man walks into the Hall of Fame. He walks in, two-time MVP. He's won championships. What more he has to do? What more is there to accomplish? Really, realistically, he's changed the way the game is being played, the way offenses are being ran. What more does he have to do?
Yeah, I totally don't understand the disrespect that he gets as an NBA player. All the stuff that he's done at his size in that position, I still don't understand it. Ice, anything we left out from the first 40 that you want to bring in overtime?
Like you said, just more or less about the Pelicans. I like to talk about just the NBA in general as to where we're going, because it seems like we have some good things happening and being excited about the season.
Black, are you excited about the NBA season? Because after I watched I have to admit, after I watched the Clippers and the Lakers, I usually don't watch NBA this early, but that got me a little excited, watching Kawhi Leonard and watching what the Clippers were able to do with the Lakers and Anthony Davis. It kind of got me excited. I'm sitting here watching Philly and Boston now. Just got finished going in and out of Chicago and Charlotte. But it kind of got me excited. Are you excited about this season, man?
A little bit. I think I'll be a little bit more excited in a month or two because they got the free league pass off this week, man. I've been looking at the Cavs and the Magic. And, you know, the game isn't that good. And I think that's the problem with the NBA is that you have a few good teams and then the rest is so mediocre to where – and there's so many games going on throughout the week, it's hard to stay excited and get up for them because you can't basically watch the Clippers and the Lakers play every night. So I remember years ago, man, my ex-brother-in-law said this, and he said this – I mean, it was a long time ago. Stern was out there, and he thought it would have been a good idea. I mean, it wouldn't happen. But he thought it had been a good idea to basically shrink the league and get away with some teams that aren't really producing and basically have better teams but less teams. And I think in the long run, it'll be more competitive. I think it'll be more exciting. And I'll throw this last thing for again. I remember the year they had the strike, man, and they played only, I think they played like 50 or some odd games. The whole season was competitive, man. And they're not going to reduce the game,
yeah,
but that's just the problem. That's just the problem I have with the NBA. It's just that from a night to night, you don't know the level of play you're going to really see and experience.
All right. Let's get to what everybody's waiting for, our NFL picks. And this week the pick order goes I go first, Black Thor goes second, Ice Water goes third, and Pop comes last. Black Thor was the big winner last week with a 10-4 record, and the rest of us went 9-5. Pop and Black are still fighting each other for that second place, going back and forth. One game, two games, coming back and forth. Ice is still in fourth place. I'm in first place. Check. I'll give you the. I'll give everybody the how much we're ahead or how much I'm ahead. Team Puma. I got a 69-36-1 record. Pop and Black Thor have a 62-43-1 record. And Ice Water has a 59-46-1 record. Here we go. Got a little D-Train for you, Black. So we're going to get this pick going on. Who you with? Team Puma, Team Black, Team Pop, or Team Ice Water? So the first game on tap is Washington versus Minnesota. I can't see Minnesota dropping this game the way they've been playing the last few weeks. And Kirk Cousins plays his old team, so you know he wants to look good. So I'm picking Minnesota. Black, who you got?
I got to really commend Kirk Cousins. In the past 3 weeks, he has definitely been putting the ball where it needs to be. He's not afraid to cut it loose. And they kind of roll him out of the pocket a little bit. I'm thinking Ice is going to pick Washington, man, because he was so happy they got the new interim head coach. So I'm pretty sure he's going to pick Washington. For that reason alone, man, I'm picking the Vikings.
Jedi mind tricks have already started. Ice Water, who you got?
Well, first of all, I want to apologize to my fans who have been waiting for picks. I haven't done great this year, but I'm still with you. Don't leave me yet. In regards to Black Thor, all I can say is this. My pick is definitely going to be Minnesota. But the only reason why you complained about the NBA is because you got that free league pass. Watching the games, then you won't have to worry about that. You get back to one game a week, then we'll see how much you appreciate the NBA. Minnesota, thank you.
Pop picked Minnesota, so that's Minnesota across the board. The next game on tap is Seattle, which really let me down last week, against Atlanta. And Matty Ice is, I don't know if he's playing, but I'm picking Seattle. Hopefully they'll bounce back from that loss against Baltimore last week. Black, what you got?
Yeah, Seattle's defense is not what it used to be, man. It's not even close to what it used to be. It's interesting because I remember at the end of this game, man, I think Thomas was trying to get over to Pete Carroll, and the linebacker, I can't think of his name right now, number 54, ran up to him and kind of grabbed him because I think he was trying to stop a spectacle. But I'm amazed right now that the Falcons head coach has not been the first coach to be fired this season, man. He really need to get up out of there. I'm taking Seattle with this one.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, a little tough watching Seattle last week, but Baltimore came to play. And I saw Russell Wilson get a little shook through his first interception last week. Pick six, pretty bad, but Baltimore is ready. They rough and rugged. So going to go with Seattle to bounce back.
All right. I'll pick Seattle. Seattle across the board. The next game on tap is the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Buffalo Bills. I'm going with the Bills. I just don't trust the Eagles in their offense. Wentz looks like he's lost out there. And that Buffalo defense is pretty good, and they're playing at home. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I'm taking Buffalo too, man. The I think it was Johnson came on the Eagles this week and said they're not even playing hard, man. He said the team, they've been showing up late to practice. They're doing some undisciplined things, and it seems like the coach is not even really kind of reeling them in. So I think things are going to start to really get worse in Philly, so I'm taking the Bills with this one.
All right. All right, so you got?
Yeah, I'm going to have to roll with Buffalo, simply because of the fact that Deshaun Jackson is still out. They really need him to come back because they don't have any threats. And as you mentioned, you don't know if they really act as if they want to play hard anymore. So I'm going to roll with Buffalo.
All right, Pop went with Buffalo also. I see you, caller 4643. We will get to you right after we do our picks. The next game on tap is the Los Angeles Chargers versus the Chicago Bears. The Bears are playing at home. This one was really hard to pick because neither team is really playing really well. But I got to think that the Chargers have a lot more offense than Chicago. And that defense without Hicks on that line, they're really showing it because they're able to double Mac. And you haven't heard his name too much in the last couple of games. So I'm going with the Chargers. Black, who you got?
Yeah, easy pick here, man. Here again, I think the Bears defense is going to probably wear down probably by the fourth quarter. I'm going to take the Chargers.
All right. All right, so you got?
If the reserve quarterback was playing, might be looking at Chicago, but they just can't move the ball, and I think that's affecting their defense as well. So I'm going to go with Chargers.
Yeah, and Pop is going with the Chargers too. If they had Daniels in there, I would probably go with the Bears, but they're going to probably trot out Trubisky out there, wait until he gets in trouble, and then put the backup in. He gives them a better chance to win right now. Next game on tap is the New York Giants versus Detroit. I'm going with the Detroit Lions at home. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I appreciate the Giants trying to do the best they can. They haven't kind of mailed it in yet. I think they might have brought the running back a little bit too soon early. But anyway, I'll take the Lions on this one, man. The Lions are playing some pretty good football.
Right.
They're just not closing it out. At some point, they're going to start closing games, and they'll be better. But I'll take the Lions.
Okay. All right, so you got?
Yeah, I want to stay roll with Detroit as well at home. Giants, the young quarterback, might be running for his life this week because I'm sure the Lions will be coming. So Lions at home.
All right. Pop is making them power moves. He's going with the New York Giants. So Black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I see you, Southside. Now we're going to do our picks. And the guys didn't want me to put you on the show because of the Jets in Chicago, but I got to have you explain that. So hold on there, sir. Next game on tap is Tampa Bay versus Tennessee. I got to go with Tennessee at home. Black, who you got?
Yeah, I can't trust Jameis anymore, man. I'm going to close my eyes and just choose Tennessee.
Okay. All right, so you got?
If it was in Tampa Bay, I probably would try to roll with Jameis. But Tennessee is up and down, and I don't know. It's hard to really roll one way or the other. But I'm going to have to – they at least have a decent defense sometimes when they show up. So I'm going to go with Tennessee at home.
All right. And that's Tennessee across the board. Pop picks Tennessee also. Next game on tap is Denver versus the Colts. Who you got? Because I got Indianapolis. Who you got, Black?
Oh, that's easy, bro. That's easy. The Colts at home. Yes,
yeah.
That's easy. Yeah, but Joe Flacco coming to town? Oh, please. Easy. Colts.
All right. All right, so you got?
Yeah, Colts at home. We just talked about that in the first 40. Jacoby Brissett coming into his own quietly, too. A lot of people not giving him love. They were didn't know, had questions because Andrew Luck retired. But it's time to give Jacoby Brissett his flowers, bro. Real talk, didn't right now.
All right. And that's Indianapolis across the board. Pop picks Indianapolis. Next game on tap is Cincinnati versus the Los Angeles Rams. I'm going with the Rams. They kind of recovered a little bit last week, and Cincinnati can't get out of their way. Black?
Yeah, Cincinnati has really fallen off the map, man. That team is I see why AC Green want to kind of get out of there. I don't play. I think the Rams on this one. Not that they got to do much to win this, but they'll look good. I think the Rams.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Well, if they the Bengals, if they were at home, might be something to consider because they played for three quarters, then they quit. The way that they played against Jacksonville was crazy. They were right there, and they just let it get away. But all the Rams have to do is, if he's healthy, get the ball to Todd Gurley. I'm going to say that one more time. Subliminal message. Todd Gurley, Todd Gurley, Todd Gurley. Bengals are horrible against the rushing, any rushing attack.
Sound like the Yin-Yang twins right there. Pop is going with the L.A. Rams also, so it's the Rams across the board. Our picks, the Goons picks. This game is an easy pick for me. I love Arizona. They're going against New Orleans. I got to pick New Orleans at home. Teddy Bridgewater is really kind of holding it down until Drew Brees comes back. Black?
Yeah, they wanted to actually play Drew Brees in this game, man. I don't know what they were thinking, but they were going to try to put him on the
field.
They
shouldn't.
I think
they shouldn't.
Yeah. I think it's more so Drew Brees wants to get out there. I think Drew Brees fearing his job because I don't think he will be starting quarterback there next year in the Saints uniform. I don't think it's going to happen. But you know, no matter who they put out this week, if they play, they can play the Hill quarterback if they want at home against the Cardinals. I'm taking the Saints.
All right. Ice, what you got?
Yeah, Mr. Murray has been actually doing pretty well, at least keeping his team together. But he's going to run in the Ohio State West, the West secondary out there in New Orleans. So that's going to be, or should I say, Ohio State South secondary down there in
New Orleans.
They've
been holding it
down. So, yeah, they've been playing real good football. And I'm happy he says a lot about them and a lot about the program. So I'm going to go with New Orleans at home.
All right. Pop is going with New Orleans at home, too. Next thing on tap is the New York Jets versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going with the Jaguars. Black, who do you have?
Yeah, Minshew's going to do his thing, man. He's going to light it up, taking the Jacksonville Jaguars at home.
Black is taking the mustache. Ice, what do you got?
Sam Darnold had his flash in the pan versus Dallas. So that's it for this year. Hope they had a great time. But Jacksonville's been playing real well with Chark doing well. And nobody's really talking about the reemergence of Leonard Fournette. And real good football. So
okay.
Jacksonville at home.
You still mad at the Jets for beating Dallas, huh?
I'm not mad at all. They won.
Okay.
Look, I'm not you.
Like you're
anyway,
mad.
I'm not you. I just made a statement. I'm not you.
I gave Dallas their props in the first
Giants
quarter. I did give
Cleveland,
Dallas. Oh, come on.
Whoever else you're rolling with.
Pop is going with Jacksonville, too. Next game on tap is Carolina versus San Francisco. I'm going with San Francisco at home. Black, who you got?
I'm taking Carolina this one, man. I'm taking Carolina. I like what this quarterback is doing. It showed something last week when 49ers came up here and played Washington in the rain and the quarterback couldn't get it going. I think Carolina defense is going to get after them this weekend. I think I'm taking the Panthers to win this one.
All right. All right, so you got?
This is tough. I'm right between two thorns. Right between two thorns. We'll see how this works. Frisco. I'm going to go with I like Carolina on the road.
Okay.
Carolina on the road. Defense playing pretty good. And the offense is just nasty. Nasty. They found ways to get done. And McCaffrey's probably one of the best players in this league right now.
Okay. Pop is going with San Francisco. Next game on tap is, I think we should all just kind of, it's Cleveland, New England. Everybody got New England?
Please. Yes.
Yep. Faker.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody has New England on that. We're not going to waste time on that. Oakland versus Houston. I got Houston. Black, who you got?
Yeah. This one is interesting. I think Houston will bounce back, but I'm not sure. But I just don't trust Oakland. But I will admit, Oakland is playing better than I thought they would be playing. But I'm taking Houston anyway.
All right. Ice, who you got?
Yeah, Oakland has been putting up some points and trying to fight. They just can't get over the hump. Played well against for a while against Green Bay. But I'm going to go with Houston at home.
Okay, it's Houston across the board. This game, I just saw something on TV that Mahomes will be practicing, but I don't think they should play him. It's Green Bay versus Kansas City. I'm going to go with Green Bay because Mahomes is hurt. And then Kansas City, their defense, I don't think they can handle that Green Bay offense, the running game and the passing game. Green Bay is clicking. Black, who you got?
Yeah, even if Mahomes was playing this weekend, man, I think I would still take Green Bay. It's just, Green Bay is starting to get something they haven't had in a long time, and it's that running game, man. They got two good running backs that they bounce between. I like their defense. I don't trust Kansas City's defense with Aaron Rodgers and that offense, man. I'm going to pick a pick now. They probably score over 35 points easily against the Chiefs. I'm picking the Packers.
Okay. All right, so you got.
Well, we know now that in order to beat Green Bay, you have to score some points. And without Mahomes, that's not really possible. The way the Chiefs would need to score to keep up. So I'm going to choose Green Bay on the road.
All right, it's Green Bay across the board. And next game is Miami and Pittsburgh. Are we all picking Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so those are our picks. I think I know this first caller. I'm going to put on the line. How you doing, Pop?
Sermon preacher. The sermon preacher. Hey, Black.
The sermon preacher.
He's not
worthy. Hey, Black. Hey, Black.
He's not worthy.
Did you eat some chicken wings last week?
No.
You did awful good, man. You did awful good on your pick last week.
I'm going to do better this week.
Wing. Did you beat some chicken wings, Turkey?
I don't know why, but I'm going to do better this week. Coming
did
from you, I'm going to take that.
Chicken wings.
And I appreciate
let
it.
Me know.
No, it wasn't chicken wings, but don't you worry about it, because I'm going to do better this week, man. Just focus on this week. Last week was last week. This week is this week.
Not if you pick the Giants. Not if you pick the Giants, Turkey.
Nah, I can't. I don't even look at the Giants this season, man. I'm thinking, well, I don't have to look at them this year.
So, Pop,
are you better?
I'm good, man. Good. Real good.
Yeah, good to hear you. Good to hear you.
Pop, you a block
got,
of top.
Got me a nice young sweetie.
I like your pops already. I like your pops.
There you go. So what are you in second place? All these years, you were not in second place. Now you're in second place. I hear you.
Lady Luck, I guess.
ain't nothing lucky about that, Puma. Ain't nothing lucky about that. Oh, man, right there talking.
So Pop, you got a question? You got a question for?
Nah, I just asked him if he ate them chicken wings. I can grab some of those and do good like him.
Oh man, that's too much.
Last time I saw him, he was chewing on chicken wings. So
So Pop, real quick, Pop, what do you think about the World Series?
Well, the way it's looking, Houston gonna tie their tail up. They done got Verlander in the first inning.
Wow.
Too fast run.
So I know you're happy the Yankees are there, right?
Though. It's tied up. 2-2.
So I know you're happy the Yankees aren't in it, right?
I'm glad they're not in it.
Why is I hate on the Yankees? I don't get it.
It's not that I hate them. I just don't like no team buying a whole bunch of big-time guys and they can't even perform. Let them young guys stay in there. The young guys are what brought them where they are.
That's true.
Got those old men in there, paying them a whole bunch of money, and none of them performing.
True. All right. We're going to get to another caller. Is there something you want to tell Black before you get up here?
Black, stick with your wings, son.
I'm going to say this to you, Fox, when you go. I like them old, baby. I like them old. I like them old. Just keep that in mind. I like them old.
I hate you.
Hey, Pop, I know one thing. Mr. Pop, one day I will know this. I like the way you're going about it. I think I'll have to get me a PYT. That might help my picks.
Smart man. All right, Pop, I'll talk to you soon. Love you.
Love you more.
Take it easy,
Mark. Talk to you soon.
Take it easy, Mark.
Let's go to.
All right, take care now.
Let's go to the next caller. I know this is Southside Ave. 562.
Yes.
What's up, man?
Yes, Southside Ave. I know you guys. I know you guys want to tell me a super, man. Get your laughs on. Get your cracks on. I was out there drinking with Michael Jordan again. And then I just messed up, man. Good thing I don't do no cocaine, man. I'd be in rehab right now.
What made you think that the Bears and the Jets would go with last week?
Man,
I just want to get
O2 Glove, like I said last week, O2 Glove Teddy came in town, man, and just put the paws all on us, man. Bad part is, like I said last week, we have a better chance of winning without our starting quarterback because Trubisky is terrible. So now, of course, everybody's thinking like, well, I'll tell you this. The word on the streets on the south side is, man, when Mahomes and Watson, man, sitting there at the table, man, ahead of him, and how did he get picked? So it's going back to that again. And if you keep on losing, man, ain't nothing that Nagy can do, man, to protect his ass. He's either going to have to get the other guy ready, man, to start, or he's going to run his ass out of town. One of the two. That's what's going to happen. And as far as the Jets go, hey, I got a personal friend that plays on the Jets. So I just thought my man was going to come back and they was just going to come to New England, man, and turn it out. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So, like I said, I was out there drinking with Michael Jordan again. Michael Jordan talking about
his tequila company.
Not a Hall of Fame player. And I know he was drinking some of that Southside Kool-Aid and he really didn't think about what he was saying before he opened his mouth. So, again,
okay.
I know the pick was crazy, but I just thought both teams had a chance last week.
All right, what's your question this week, man?
My question this week is, Ice, I heard your picks, man, and everybody picked against the Raiders. Why is that? They've been playing some good ball the last couple of weeks. Why is that? Because they're playing Houston?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, for me it is because of the fact that they have been playing well. But I think that Houston knows that they have this is a key, crucial game for them. And they lost on the road to Indianapolis, and they cannot afford to lose anymore if they're going to have the playoff aspirations and then to be seeded correctly. So I just need to see more from Oakland. I agree with you. Oakland, they play well for a while, and they battle Green Bay, but then they sell off. And I'm not sure if they can get that done on the road. That's my problem with that. That's why I went against Oakland.
Okay.
Black, why did you pick Houston?
Well, Houston tends to play a little bit at home. I don't think Oakland can put together four quarters of silent football. I mean, Carr does well for a short period of time, then he kind of falls off a little bit. And I think part of the problem with Oakland is they're trying to prove that Carr can be a quarterback. They got a good running back there, man. Pound the ball to the running back and shorten the game up and try to win it that way. And that was their problem when they played against Green Bay. They were trying to kind of, you can't outthrow Aaron Rodgers. You just can't do it, man. So I just don't trust the play calling coming from Gruden. I don't think Oakland is ready yet. And I think Houston's going to fight to try to get back. Like I said, in that division, they can't stand another loss, man, right now. Because if they lose again, man, where the Colts are playing, the Colts is probably going to win this week, they can find themselves out of there.
Yeah, I just don't trust Oakland. And that's one of the teams I follow. I just don't trust them. And I have more trust in Houston than Oakland. But one other thing, Southside Al, I'm just seeing on TV that the I thought the Bulls were going to beat the Hornets, but the Hornets edged them out 126-125. Tell me a little bit about the Bulls. I know you're a Bulls fan.
Like I said last week, the Bulls have not won anything. The Bulls are not going to win anything. And I'll tell you how so turned off I am about the Bulls. I've been watching Boston and Philly. They've been going back and forth, and they're in the third quarter. It's 63-66. Boston was pretty much ahead the whole time up until the second half. So this has really been a tug-of-war battle between these two teams. And also, Don, I want to say this. I'm like your pops, man. I like some young, sweet PYT Kool-Aid, too. It just brings energy into an old man where he can just stay up all night. Y'all figure it out when I leave.
On that note, I'm going to take a break. Thank you for calling in, man. I know I'm going to talk to you later. So, man, thanks for calling in. Thanks for the question, and I will talk to you later, bro.
All right. You guys take care.
All right, man. Thank you for calling. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk a little baseball and something else with Ice. I know Black has to head on out, but we'll talk some more on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Before I get into talking to baseball, and there have been some boxing matches that I want to kind of talk to, because I know Ice Water
covers boxing, and I'll let him talk about what he does with the other show. He covers boxing. Icewater is one of the best guys to talk boxing with. Always love talking boxing with him. But I wanted to go into NCAA football, man, and I'm looking at some of the rankings, and some strange things are happening with NCAA football. Of course, you got Alabama ranked number one, LSU two, Ohio State three, Clemson drops to four, Oklahoma five, Penn State moves up one slot up to six, and Florida moves to two slots to seven. They're still holding Notre Dame at eight, Auburn number nine, and they have a big game against LSU this week, and Georgia has a big game coming up on November 2nd against Florida. But I know we talked a little bit about it, Ice, on the first 40, but your eye test on some of the games last week and some of the games that you're going to be looking forward to seeing this week in college football.
Yeah, well, when you look, we talked about last week, the main thing for me was the victory of Illinois defeating Wisconsin. Wisconsin was ranked pretty high there before, and they were taken down by 1 point. It surprised you because we thought Wisconsin was going to really make a strong run and be the perhaps
right.
the other side of the Big Ten. But for them to lose that, it was kind of surprising there. The struggle also, too, of Iowa over Purdue, 26-20, that kind of caught me by surprise. I was a little bit there just trying to see. I thought they would bring more to the table, and they did not do that. So it kind of makes you wonder, and I'm going to let you talk about the Michigan game. I want to look at one other game, if I can find it real quick, is the Minnesota one, correct? They're undefeated?
Yeah, they're undefeated.
Okay, so that's surprising to me as well. And I know they're ranked 17th in the country right now, and they're feeling some kind of way. I do want to see them have a real test at 7-0. I want to see them tested against a team that really matters. No disrespect to the other ones that they have beaten, but I just want to see them tested. So a lot more games going on there too. And I don't know if you wanted to jump in and talk about that, then I can also follow up with some games that we can look at for next week.
Yeah, I keep telling people about Baylor and SMU. Both teams are undefeated. And I think Baylor goes up against West Virginia, and then SMU plays Houston. I don't think Houston really has a great record. But the guy that I was telling people in the first 40 to watch out for is K.J. Hamler from Penn State, the receiver from Penn State. I saw him last year as a freshman. He impressed me, or a sophomore. He impressed me. I think he's a junior now. He's 5'9", 176 pounds. I think if he puts on a little bit more weight, I'm looking forward to seeing him on the next level because he seems to be the guy who can be a possession receiver and he can get behind those safeties and just get open at will. And the quarterback for Penn State usually will try to find him. They always have – they seem to have this connection. And so Penn State's going to be an interesting team to watch. They're ranked number six. They play against Michigan State, and that should be a good game and a good test for Penn State. I thought Wisconsin, this was a trap game for Wisconsin losing to Illinois because they're going to play Ohio State, and they weren't even looking at Illinois. They kind of banked that win already, and Lovie and them came and snuck up on them and ran the ball down their throat. Really surprised me. Really happy for Lovie because I thought he got a raw deal with Chicago. But he's slowly but surely kind of putting that program together, getting his type of players in and using a system that works for those players. And I kind of thought that was kind of Wisconsin's trap game. And usually folks who don't know about trap games is usually you play a team that you know you can beat, and but you're looking ahead to a team the week after. And Ohio State was that team that they were looking for to kind of put them in the upper echelon to put them in the playoffs. And Wisconsin dropped. I mean, they dropped real big. They dropped like seven spots into the number 13th ranked in the team, right above Baylor. I thought Baylor had a tough win. Texas kind of held at 15,
what I think they should have dropped. Because if Kansas can kind of give you a run for your money, I don't think you need to be in the top 20. Maybe in, you know, 21, 22, they're down to 25. But Kansas gave them everything they wanted, and a field goal at the end of the game, they got away. But like I said, SMU, Baylor's been playing great football. I've been paying attention to them a lot. They have a running – Baylor has a running back you got to take a look at. Got to take a look at. Also, Oregon has been playing really well. I know the game is not until November 2nd, but I don't see Georgia beating Florida. I don't see Georgia beating Florida. They're not that same team last year that was in the playoffs. And I said this in the first 40. If Michigan does not beat Notre Dame, Harbaugh is already writing letters already to players and parents and all this other stuff. I don't think Michigan keeps them. Even before he gets to Ohio State, I don't think he stays there, because here's a team in Notre Dame. I think they're kind of evenly matched. I'll give the edge to Notre Dame, but Michigan has to beat Notre Dame in order for Harbaugh to have a secure job for next week and the week after he plays Ohio State. If they have a big showing against Notre Dame, I can see them staying there. Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts, everybody's talking about the LSU quarterback, but I tend to think that he's going to have a game where he's going to really have a bad game and hurt his Heisman Trophy chances. I'm looking at Jalen Hurts as my Heisman Trophy winner right now. I'm putting it up. And he may not get it because they might give it to the LSU quarterback. But Tua, he got hurt in the last game and couldn't finish the last game. That may hurt his chances a little bit. How he does against LSU, if he looks a little sloppy, throws a few interceptions. But Jalen Hurts is playing balls to the wall. And I like the way his attitude, and I like the way he's playing. So he is my favorite to win the Heisman if they don't give it to the LSU quarterback. Ice, anything else you want to talk about in NCAA football?
Yeah, just a couple games coming up. Despite the fact that they lost to Illinois, Wisconsin coming in Columbus to face Ohio State on a noon tip, I think it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. Can they bounce back, at least make a respectable showing here in Columbus? Penn State and Michigan State. Michigan State needs a redemption game, and they need a decent showing, and I think they're trying to find that. Penn State is very good. They've shown us that they were able to handle Michigan last week, but right now I think Michigan State is looking for something good to happen. I'm not sure if this is going to be a win here, but even if they play well, that might be the start of something for them. Texas is facing TCU. Two Texas teams getting together really usually means a lot of fireworks, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen because we've been watching, as you mentioned, Texas. We've been watching them very closely. If they slip, you never know what could happen. Auburn, LSU, now we're talking. LSU has been on fire, but Auburn has a capability to kind of shock you a little bit. You just never know how that's going to work. And then finally, Notre Dame and Michigan, I'll say that word again, redemption. Michigan needs this game, not just for Harbaugh, but to show that they are worthy of perhaps playing on New Year's Day. They need this win. It's at home. It's at nighttime. Kind of remove the excuses. You know what it was like last week to play against a tough Penn State team with the whiteout. So I think if they play offense the way that they did last week with the quarterback moving around, throwing the ball, and letting those big receivers get in, and the defense comes around like they're supposed to and grab a snap, a couple balls, I think they have a very good chance of competing, if not defeating Notre Dame this week.
Yeah. The games I'm going to be trying to check out this week is, of course, the LSU-Auburn game, also the Ohio State-Wisconsin game. Can Wisconsin bounce back and give Ohio State its first loss this season? We'll see. I'm looking at I just like watching Jalen Hurts, so I'm going to tune in and try to watch the Oklahoma-Kansas State game. Of course, the Penn State-Michigan State game. And Notre Dame, the game I'm going to watch that evening, Notre Dame and Michigan, that's a must-win game for Michigan. Must-win game. And if you can put Notre Dame out of the top 10, you're saying something. And Michigan hasn't had one of those signature wins against those big-time colleges. Harbaugh needs that really he needs that really bad. Also, I'm going to be watching late that night Oregon and Washington State, Utah, California. I'm also going to try to check out Arizona State with Herm Edwards. I love watching Arizona State and their freshman quarterback Daniels. They play UCLA. And so looking forward to Arizona State stopping a mud hole in UCLA. And UCLA has to search for another coach. For shits and giggles, Boise State got handed their first loss last week. I want to see if they can bounce back against San Diego State. And then, of course, the game here in Chicago that's going to be looked at is Iowa versus Northwestern, to see whether or not Northwestern, who plays – they play pretty much everybody tough, but I want to see how tough they can play Iowa. And I always there's a team that I like in college too. One of my cousins went to East Carolina, so I always kind of follow East Carolina. They don't have a good record, but they play Cincinnati. So let's see if that is they play him November 2nd. So I want to check out that game. I know I'm a week early, but I want to check out that game. Let's go back to Major League Baseball, man. We talked about it in the first 40, Ice, and I believe the game is on now, right? So what are you seeing, man, with Washington and Houston?
Well, right now, you have, we mentioned before, it was Strasburg versus Verlander. They're in the fifth inning, actually the top of the fifth with Washington, one man on. And both pitchers have been touched. What I mean by that is they've been touched. Actually, a couple of batters have hit them. Verlander gave up a two-run double, which is why Washington has their two runs. And Strasburg has looked decent, but not dominant. So I think this is going to be like last night's game. It's going to be on edge. Whoever takes one small mistake, one thing here, somebody gets hot, can win it. I think this is probably one of the most competitive World Series we're going to see. Even if Washington goes on to really move forward and sweep or whatever they may do, I think they're going to have to battle for it, and I think that's good because they're going to have to earn it. And I think right now they are, but Houston's not going to give up. I think it's a lot different because if you had a team in here, no disrespect to the Dodgers, but it is what it is, coming in here, they probably might have got just run out and blown out because of the fact that they find ways to get small when it comes to the large state. So this is one hell of a series, one hell of a game right now, 2-2 in the top of the fifth with one man on for Washington and no outs.
Okay. Let's take a break and talk a little bit more about baseball. I know the Cubs are close to trying to get a manager. It might be a former player who played 15 years in Major League Baseball. But let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and I'll try to bring back Southside Al to talk some more sports. Stay tuned. This is the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. It is I, Puma, along with Ice Water. We're going to bring in my man Southside Al from Southside of Chicago. And I know I've been hearing the news, man, about the Cubs and who they think is going to they're going to bring in as a new manager. Have you heard the same news?
They signed the manager today. This David Ross. I believe I have his first name right. David Ross played with the Cubs the year they won the World Series. I think that was in 2016. And, you know, typical Chicago move. You signed a guy who only played baseball. I think David Ross was doing commentary the last couple of years. And he doesn't have any, like, managerial or coaching experience. I don't even think he's been, like, a batting coach or anything. So, you know, he's going to be the Cubs manager. But that's good for the South Side because, hey, as long as the Cubs keep going down the drain, the White Sox will continue to rise up. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Cubs do as far as once, you know, the baseball season is totally over, what they do as far as free agency, what they do as far as developing players, what David Ross's plan is, or he's going to listen to Theo Epstein and let Theo Epstein manage the team from the front office suite. So, I mean, it's like up for grabs on the north side.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get Mr. Cub in. I couldn't get him this week. But Ice, what do you think about this this move by the Cubs? Personally, I don't think it's a good move to grab somebody that doesn't really have the experience out there. It's one thing to commentate it on television and make all the right kind of comments on television. It's another thing to be a leader of men and try to manage a baseball team. But your thoughts on that, man?
Well, it's almost as if Theo is the general manager is trying to appease the players. Because you think about it, David Ross played 15 years in the league. He's a former catcher with the Cubs. He's played with several of the players that he's going to be managing. You look at Boone over in the New York Yankees, but he was prepared for that. He was ready. So my question is, it's nice to have a guy that everybody likes in the room unless Steve's going to put a bunch of veteran coaches around him, and he can just kind of watch from afar in regards to the managing aspect of it. But it surprised me, especially with what's going on around in baseball and some other people that are available. The one thing that I mentioned that was hilarious, and I told you this before, Puma, is the fact that you get rid of a Madden and talk about how people don't like him. But at the same time, I'm trying to remember the last time the Cubs won the World Series before he got there. But anyway, that's just a point I'm talking about. And anybody
that
can take Tampa Bay.
Time slavery ended.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's time slavery ended the last time the Cubs won the first time.
And anybody that can take Tampa to the World Series, man, says a lot to what Madden did back in the day. And I think they're going to regret that at some point. But, hey, you got what you like it, I love it. You have a guy that you want. We'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, and the Cubs fans are very quiet. They've been very quiet.
You said they've been very quiet.
They've been very quiet about that pick because normally, you know, it's like Jesus has came and risen from the dead when it's someone that the Cubs fans like. So it's really been really quiet about David Ross. I think they like the pick because he's a former player. But the other side of it is nobody's really, like, blowing up sports radio here in Chicago talking about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much. I just hear the reports that this is who they're thinking about. And that's the last thing I heard. This is who they're thinking about bringing in, and he was the leading candidate. I didn't know they signed him. So we'll see. Let's switch to NCAA basketball. That time of the year is coming up. This is my favorite time of the year. You have football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I'm sitting there watching. I'll be at a pub at the Ambassador in Greektown watching the All Blacks play in the world in the World Cup of rugby about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then watching some soccer with some of my friends over there. But I'll give you the rankings if you guys haven't heard about the rankings in college basketball. They are ranking Michigan State number one, Kentucky number two, Kansas number three, Duke is number four, Louisville is number five, Florida is number six, Maryland is number seven, Gonzaga, that's ISIS team, is ranked number eight, North Carolina is ranked number nine, Villanova is ranked number 10. The defending national champions, Virginia, they're ranked number 11, followed by Seton Hall, Texas Tech, Memphis. Watch out for Memphis, Penny Hardaway's team. We've been saying that for a year now. Watch out for Memphis. They're ranked 14th. Oregon, Baylor, Utah State, Ohio State,
is in the top 20 at 18. Their basketball team, they're coming. Xavier, then St. Mary's, Arizona, LSU is number 22. Purdue, you got Auburn, and to finish out the top 25, VCU. Any surprises, Ice, on the top 25?
I know you surprised by that number five team, huh? I tried to tell you, you need to hold your horses. Try to tell you about that Louisville. You called for that coach to be fired last year. You know, I had to forget about that.
Yeah,
I told you,
yeah,
get that
I'm very surprised
time.
Louisville's in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Give him a little time.
I'm very surprised Louisville's
yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
we'll
you
see.
Are.
We'll see.
Is Louisville on probation? Is it Louisville on probation?
No.
They're not
no.
on probation?
I don't think.
Well,
are
Kansas,
they on probation?
Kansas is about to be on probation. So let's not start drinking
yeah,
no cans
about
cookies.
That.
Yeah, they're about
yeah.
to get slapped with a real nasty one. And
if
Bill
it doesn't happen,
can't talk
yeah.
himself out of it.
If it does not happen by mid-January, it's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
As far as that suspension. Because we talking, they don't want to mess with that March Madness money. I keep trying to tell y'all about that. They got to keep that March Madness money.
Did Louisville reinstate? Did they reinstate all their when they won a couple of years ago, did they reinstate all their records? Are they getting acknowledged
no,
for this?
No,
I'm
they
not
did
sure
not.
About that.
But now, what they did was they reinstated the records of the players because I think the players were talking about suing. So the records
right.
for the players' accomplishments were reinstated, but not the wins. The wins
okay.
were still forfeited based on the suspensions and Alec, whatever what happened as far as the investigation is concerned. But the players got their recognition back in regards to stats.
Well, that's good.
I
that's
didn't know
good.
Players could do that.
I know.
I didn't
you
know players
know.
Could do that.
Which means put their stats
in school. You got to thank Ed O'Bannon.
Yeah.
You got to thank Ed O'Bannon for a lot
yeah.
of that, man, because when they start wanting to use his likeness, man, to make money off of the video games, man, Ed was like, hey, ain't no way you're going to use my likeness without paying me for it. So you got to thank Ed O'Rourke,
right.
man, for running the distance to the Supreme Court, man, to get that done. So guys have rights now to be able to sue for whenever they've been done injustice by the commies at the NCAA. So
yeah, plus two, when
please
you think
bring
about it,
college
from this standpoint.
Sports games back.
Yeah, but look, when you first think about it, too, that from this perspective, that it wasn't the players that had the issues. It was the
right, it was
coaches.
The coach.
Yeah,
right.
So why should, it's almost as if you take something from the players when they didn't do anything unless you have evidence that shows that they were involved. So
right.
why wouldn't the record stand? I understand the wins. I get that. But you mean to tell me you're going to wipe out a 1,000-point season or whatever it may be because the coach messed up? I mean, that's not fair. They won fair and square. They put our blood, sweat, and tears out there. The coaches and the administration is the one that messed up. So, I don't know. Let's see.
I wanted to ask you about this. Ohio State, because I was surprised to see Ohio State. Well, I've been saying Ohio State's coming, but I'm surprised this early they're in the top 20. So what am I not hearing and what am I not seeing?
Well, one of the things is they had a pretty nice. They have a nice class that's coming in. Some guys are really
okay.
going to help them. They think going to help them immediately. They have, of course, you have the center coming back, Caleb Wesson, and Andrew Caleb Wesson coming back. His brother Andre Wesson. So that's going to be good there. Two nice guards that will help them. That were freshmen last year, Luther Muhammad and Dwayne Washington. But the thing that you're probably missing is there's a young gentleman by the name of DJ Carton. He's a 6'2 guard, point guard, that is one of the best in the country. They're saying if he plays real well, there's a chance he might be one and done. That's a lot to put on a kid, but he's very talented, and he's going to probably start the point guard for them. And then they have a 6'9 player out of Cleveland, Alonzo Gaffney. So basically they have maybe three to maybe four freshmen that could come in and they're going to put work in right away. And that put you connect that with the maybe four or five quality returners that the coach has, Coach Holdman has, and the way that he coaches and gels this together, I think so they're getting a lot of love because the media does not want them to do well and they missed the boat. That's one thing they don't want. So that's where you have him bouncing them around. And the way that Holtman plays, they're not afraid of anybody. When he was at Butler, he defeated Villanova when they end up being national champions. He doesn't care. They have a pretty decent schedule, and they're coming for – they're going to take on all comers. So it should be interesting. So stay tuned for them, particularly to watch these freshmen interact with the mix with the upperclassmen in Columbus.
Yeah, because it really surprises me that Kentucky wasn't ranked number one, and they put Michigan State. Michigan State lost a few players from last year's team, but Cassius Winston is the All-American senior point guard there, and it seems like they're putting a lot on his shoulders for this upcoming season, ranking them number one over Kentucky, because usually Kentucky gets great recruiting from the jump. And Kansas, you never know what's going to happen there. I know Duke has some players that they are really excited about, and they always have. Since this one-and-done thing, Coach K has been grabbing the one-and-done players, which is a shock. But I'm trying to see who is coming back.
Why did you feel it was a shock?
Huh?
So why did you feel that was
What'd
a shock?
From
I said, why would you feel that Coach K?
You know,
Coach K is always kind of
that guy who wants to. Duke is like the Ivy League of the South, and so that's why it kind of shocked me, because usually they try to get the 4-year players, develop them, make sure they have the academic. That's why it kind of shocked me that he's going this way. And of course, it's about money. But they're bringing back Trey Jones, the point guard, sophomore point guard, who his brother plays in the NBA. That should be very interesting. And they're bringing in some freshmen like Vernon Carey, Matthew Hurt. They're bringing in Wendell Moore Jr. They're bringing in Cassius Stanley as a freshman, and Keenan Worthington as a freshman. So they had a pretty good recruiting class. So we'll see how Duke kind of fares. And any thoughts, Southside Al?
Yeah, I think Coach K has learned over the course of time that sometimes those players don't exist anymore. Where you got guys who might come and stay 4 years, get their degree, and experience the college life. We got kids here in Chicago, man, leaving the playground and going pro. So with Coach K understanding that a lot of these kids, man, come with aspirations of I'm going to play professional ball. Well, okay, I've got grades good enough to go to Duke. It's a great atmosphere. I can go play for Coach K. But also, too, every time he does recruit some of these 5-star guys, it's always a guarantee that Duke will always end up in the Final Four and possibly winning a national championship. So it's almost like a win-win when it comes down to how he's recruiting now, because he's getting older. His time is not much left for coaching. So if he can win as many national championships as he can before he retires or goes on to something else, he's going to go get those guys that are one-and-done guys.
Yeah. Well, I'm really looking forward to see at North Carolina, because North Carolina is my team, is Cole Anthony, Greg Anthony's son. I'm pretty sure Cole Anthony is going to start as point guard because White is playing with the Chicago Bulls right now. And he had a pretty good game tonight. But that's a guy that I'm excited to see in NCAA basketball. Ice, who are you excited to see? Some players, maybe incoming freshmen or players that are staying to develop their game?
Well, you mentioned about Michigan State being surprised by them. If you watch the way that point guard played in the tournament, he was amazing.
Yeah.
And what they have
yeah.
returning, I think they're going to be – that's just going to be strength. Is going to be the fact that he provides that leadership and that guidance. That's going to go a long way. I'm excited there. I'm excited by Louisville because you're not. So Louisville is very talented, and they're going to show you that they have a coach that knows what he's doing. He just kind of got caught up in the numbers, not having his own guys. So I'm excited about watching them. I want to see what Villanova does, because this could be a decent year for them as well. They have some pretty decent players coming back, so I want to see what happens there. Trying to think. One other team, and I was just checking this out, and they're not even ranked. So you know where I'm going. This team is ranked number 5 in their conference, and that's Florida State. I just think that people are sleeping on Florida State. Leonard Hamilton has went out and recruited his butt off. A lot of his top-notch players are gone, but some of the he has some key returnees. And here's the thing for Leonard Hamilton, people don't know about Florida State. They're always physical. They're always athletic, and they can guard anybody. And you don't. This is like a nightmare matchup. They match up with you all the way across the board. They have lanky guards, tall guards. They kind of remind me of old-school Louisville, except they have taller players. But they come after you, and they're not afraid, and that's how they get after it. The reason why I mentioned about them is because I was looking at their roster the other day doing some studying, and Leonard Hamilton has found a way to recruit 3 more 7-footers, bro. He got 3 more 7-footers.
Wow.
He has a 7-1 kid, a 2 7-1s, and a 7-4 kid. So, yeah, along with other athletes that they have. So I want to keep an eye – a special eye on them. And I just want to see, last but not least, Memphis, because Penny Hardaway has had a lot of talent come in. He had a lot of kids that defected from other schools that play for him, AAU. And I just want to see if he's able to gel and put all that, those things together, because it's a lot of pressure on him. A lot of pressure, put all that together. And for his sake and for the Memphis fans, I hope they're able to put it together, at least make a major dent in improving that program.
Yeah, I like. All right, Al. Before we go to break, man, who are you looking forward to seeing in college basketball, man?
I'm like Ice. I like to see Penny see what his program turns out, because there's been a lot of fanfare about him coming to coaching, and then you know some of the recruits and that he has got to come to the program. So I want to see Memphis do something this year, and I also like to see our hometown team, DePaul, do something. They've had no recruits in Chicago since Mark McGuire. So, unfortunately, you know, they've been recruiting outside the city as always, and, you know, they're not winning. But I'd like to see them do something as well this year.
Okay. Some of the other teams that got votes, and looking forward to see some of these teams. Of course, Florida State, I actually mentioned that. You got Colorado, Tennessee. They lost a lot of guys, but they got some votes. You got North Carolina State, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Georgetown. I'm looking forward to see what Patrick Ewing is going to do with that team. They were up and coming last year, so we'll see if they can upset some folks. And I believe they're in the same division as DePaul. Creighton, Alabama, Michigan is down there, a Big Ten team. And also, who got a vote? Dayton. I'm interested to see them. Dayton always kind of sneaks their way into the NCAA tournament. So we're going to see that. And Ice's favorite team, Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Syracuse got some love. Yeah.
No, you know my favorite team now is UCLA. Anyway,
UCLA.
And you know
that
why?
That should be an interesting. Yeah. I want to see what that coach does, because he was like the fourth or fifth pick, and he kind of took the job. So let's see if it was worth it. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll get some questions from the Goons right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio. We'll be right back. I got to give some love to Coach Waters, the head coach of the Wilberforce men's basketball team. Follow him on Instagram, man. He's, I guess they're going to have a tournament out in the Virgin Islands, man. It makes me jealous. I wish they had that when I was going to school. They're doing some traveling and they are playing. Wow. Shout out to him.
Hey, Puma.
Ice, before
Puma.
We go. Yeah.
They need some media coverage. Well, you're supposed to get on that. We're supposed to be traveling with the team.
Yeah, I gotta shout them out, especially if they come to Chicago State here. And I know they'll be all over Ohio. And hopefully you can catch some of the games, man. Let them know we're here. We're here. He can come on at any time. But before I go into the questions from the Goons, I know you do a reality of sports, but you do a boxing program. I want you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, kind of connect with a couple guys, John R. and also Frank Gordon. We do a boxing show. It's called Real Boxing Talk. And we just kind of go into it about some of the things that have happened recently. We also talk about historic boxing matches, like we broke down again the Hearns Hagler fight. We talked about Spence versus Porter. So knowledgeable individuals. John has been covering boxing for years, lives out in California. Frank lives in Vegas, and I live in Columbus. So you guys should tune in, check us out. We try to really bring it, the real talk, and let people know what's going on about boxing, despite what the others may say in their rankings, like not having the heavyweight champion of the world in the top 10 right now. Unbelievable. Anyway.
Knockout artist. In a box.
Yeah, okay,
box.
Whatever.
But when you
face all comers, you fight anybody, you fight the guys nobody wants to fight, how can you not be in the top 10? I don't get that.
Pound for
nobody
pound.
Wants to fight Ruiz. Pound for
you
pound, right now. We're not talking about historic. They have guys up there that have 12 wins. Really? They just don't like
this. This is what I said. We had this argument before. If he would have beat Tyson Fury soundly, he would have been pound for pound. He would have beat the linear champion, but he didn't. And that, because if you say he has to be in the top 10, then you have to put Tyson Fury in the top 10. And Tyson Fury is not pound for pound.
Can I throw one thing at you? I don't want to go too far on this because I know we have other things to talk about, but I'm going to throw this at you. Has Tyson Fury lost any fights?
No.
He had not lost. He lost any fights at all.
No.
Okay. And has.
But you consider him
Deontay
pound for pound?
No. Has Deontay Wilder lost any fight?
Nope.
Okay.
But they both have a draw.
Right, but I don't know how you can be the undisputed. You can be basically the heavyweight champion of the world and not be ranked in the pound-for-pound title. When they continue to try to find a way to put Triple G in, who's 99 years old, because that's their feeling some kind of way. Come on, man.
Al, what you think about this, man? Jump in here. Come on, man.
Look.
Because we came out of
list
a couple months ago.
I've been watching boxing.
Go ahead, man.
The last couple of months, off and on, and this guy Tyson. A little bit why I've been watching him because I saw his testimony on ESPN. You know where he was at and how he came to be. So that caught my attention. But boxing is not what it used to be, and that's because of all the scams, the demise of Mike Tyson, the underhanded doing of Don King. Boxing is truly not what it used to be. I remember the times where the whole nation stopped to watch Mike Tyson and see how long he was going to fight, whether it be two rounds, three rounds, or just the first round. So boxing hasn't struck my interest for a while, but like I said, I like the Tyson guy. That's unfortunate that he is not even considered in the top 10 pound for pound as far as boxers go. But, I mean, he hasn't won. He hasn't lost any fights. But who has he fought that has been really a struggle for him? I saw his last fight and he put the guy away with ease. So who has really been any competition for him since he's been heavyweight champion?
I mean, he fought the draw with Deontay Wilder, and so they're,
right.
they're dragging their feet to fight. But like I said, if you put Deontay Wilder in, then you're going to get Tyson Fury's crowd saying, okay, he didn't beat Tyson Fury, so he needs to be in the top 10 too.
That's why I thought canceled him out of the top 10. Sound like Anthony Johnson stuff to me. Didn't fight nobody, and all of a sudden he all world. If that's the case, all I want Tyson Fury to do is step in the ring with Luis Ortiz. Let's see what happens, since he's the lineal champion. He don't want none of that smoke. You say what you want to about Wilder. Wilder will fight anybody. Anybody. Now, Josh would want to fight him because he fell off the cliff against my man that was eating hot dogs and hamburgers, and he got
Ruiz.
Stopped in America. Yeah. So I'm just saying, he can't win for losing. What does he have to do? I guess he's going to have to dust Fury off. Then, if he dusts off Fury in the second match, will you say that he deserves to be in the top 10?
If he boxed Fury and get rid of Fury, he beat the lineal champion, he becomes the lineal champion, you got to put him in the top 10.
You sure? You sure?
No
I want to make sure
yep.
he's
no
comfortable
question.
With that.
No
so
question.
He going to beat Ortiz.
No question.
And then he going to beat O'Boy.
Beat,
then what? What else we got?
Then I'll put him in the top 10.
Okay.
But
all right,
these,
I want to make sure.
The weights under the heavyweight, I mean, some of the weights under the heavyweights, to me, deserve it more than heavyweights right now.
Goodness.
There are no really
tell
kind
me
of,
more,
to me.
Tell me nine more, dude. Please tell me nine more, dude.
Man,
please tell me nine more, dude.
And we can argue about this some other time. But I got one for you. I got a question for you. I'm going to start this off. I saw this recently, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. Then we'll get Southside Al's opinion on it. Jones and Hopkins are talking about fighting a third fight.
Why?
What's your thoughts, Ice?
Why?
You go first, bro. It's going to take me a minute.
Who's going to watch that fight? Who's going to watch it? How Hopkins is what? 60 years old? I mean, who's going to watch the fight?
Maybe.
And why?
People
and why
will, I believe people
fight?
Will pay for it.
Do they need money that bad to fight? Is somebody really going to pay them money to actually get in the ring? Somebody
I believe
really
so.
Give these two guys are going to get in the ring and fight. Jones or Hopkins.
I think the boxing public is so hungry they would want this. They would pay for this.
Well, they might as well let George Foreman come out of retirement then and let him fight too.
Yeah, he gonna fight Larry Holmes for the Millennium Championship.
Because I mean, like, man, I mean, if you want two old guys to fight, then get two old heavyweight champs to fight. Get Larry Holmes, man. We could find Tony Tucker and Trevor Burbick, somebody. Let's get them guys in there, man. I mean, who's gonna pay to watch Jones and Hopkins fight? And Hopkins is what, 60? How old is Jones? Is he like 50 something?
Probably.
I mean, these guys are old guys. If that's the case, hey, I might as well get in the ring and fight. You know, because
oh,
I mean,
come,
man.
Come on, come.
I'm serious. I told you I was the only guy that could beat Mike Tyson in his heyday. Mike Tyson never fought a guy who had to go to work every day. He always had to fight these tomato cans and bones. He had never fought a guy that had to go to work every day. He got nothing to lose.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm saying.
Let me go to Ice.
All right.
So yeah,
let me go to Ice where you get yourself in trouble with Mike Tyson. I saw him do some moves.
Hey man, I catch Mike Tyson down in Vegas anytime, anywhere on any street corner.
Oh Lord,
and
oh
I'll
Lord,
bring,
help him, Mike. Let's go.
And
Mike.
I'll bring Mitch Green with me. I'll bring Mitch Green.
Man. I remember you made the Jets and Bears prediction, so I'm going to leave it right at that. What are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, unless you're going to have it for free and you have it to help out the Boys and Girls Club or something like that. That's the only way I can see it. Because, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
And the
last time I saw Bernard Hopkins, when he got knocked out the ring and he swear to God pushed him. That was really sad. And we know Roy Jones is past his prime. I really don't understand all of this. Yeah, I don't understand it. So, yeah, I would not suggest that they have it. And just for the record, Puma, since you're going on there.
Let's call Leon
certain,
to see what he's doing.
Now, yeah, exactly.
Let's call Leon
him
and Michael and see what they're up to.
Yeah, have a tag team match versus somebody anyway. But, Puma, for the record, the number seven on your respected top ten pound for pound, number seven on a certain website is Gennady Golovkin. And number 10 is Mike Garcia. Are you effing kidding me? Really? Okay. That's all right. Mikey Garcia?
Okay. Okay, let me answer this question. Here's why I think this fight is going to happen. They are talking about doing this in either Europe, China, or Russia. And I guarantee those countries will pay for a fight and have a fight because they're a legendary American boxers and folks want to see him. And because Roy Jones was making a lot of money fighting over in Russia. Yeah, but we're going to be interested and we're going to watch it over here. I mean, everybody got a fire stick, so we're going to watch it.
You know what that means, though? Yeah. If they have it over there, we don't have to watch it. We can catch it on YouTube 10 weeks later.
That's right.
But you wouldn't
That's
be
right.
interested.
Have to
No. No, why? No. They old.
Look, I could see a better fight in Inglewood, man, right about now. So, no. No.
All right, Ice, give me your question, man, for this week.
Question is, do you think Russell Westbrook can change his ways so Houston can become a better contender in the team?
No. Like
not
what
ball
do you
think? All the time.
No, Russell
Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook is going to be the same Russell Westbrook that played with Oklahoma. He's going to gun. He's not going to share the ball. And you watch and see by midseason with him and James Harden, like just like fighting for the ball, fighting for points. That team's going to be a fiasco. They're not going to be the team that they think they've built to challenge the Lakers and the Clippers. That chemistry is awful. It should have never gotten rid of CP3. It should have kept him. He's not going to be a team player. Not at all.
I agree with Southside Al. And the other thing that I think that people aren't really looking at is that Houston is not really a good defensive team, and I think that's going to frustrate Russell Westbrook to no end. That they won't be able to stop teams, and they have to score a lot of points to beat teams because their coach is not a defense-oriented coach. And so he likes to run and gun. He kind of reminds me of a secondhand Doug Moe. He'd roll out the balls and with Denver Nuggets back in the day with English and Vandeweghe, roll out the balls and shoot as much as you can and try to score more points than the other team. So I think yeah, it's going to be frustrating them kind of sharing the ball because if you remember when they played together before, Harden was coming off the bench. He wasn't really starting. So they have a strategy to try to stagger their minutes. So I'm not sure if that's going to work, but I think he's going to get frustrated when they can't stop teams and they're losing. That's what I think. But, Ice, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just don't see it coming together the way they want to. That somebody has to be unselfish. And I'm not sure if that's possible. And plus, two, I'm not certain if the supporting cast is strong enough to allow them to be different than what they are. And that's my major concern because they let some folks get away. And I think the media is pumping them up in a lot of ways like they are in Milwaukee. That's for another day, though.
All right. Al, got one more question. Shoot it out, bro.
What do you think the Bears are going to do when they really find out that Mitch Trubisky is not the quarterback they thought they had?
Ice, what are your thoughts?
I think at that point they'll start to move towards a veteran quarterback. They can't really do anything this year because they bought into it. Unless they play, was it Miller, the backup right now? or Daniel, I'm sorry.
Daniel.
So, but, yeah, I think they're going to have to wait. But if I were them, if things weren't coming together the way I wanted to after this season, I'd talk to somebody like in terms of what happens, maybe a Teddy Bridgewater. Say, hey, we need you. We know that doesn't go over well in Chicago, too, but my bad. Anyway, but y'all will be looking at a veteran quarterback to see if they could maybe take over or at least ease the pain for a team that really can be very good. Again, you're going to need a running back because you don't have one currently as well.
They're going to have to get a vet. I think they blew some of their draft picks, so if they can – get lucky and a quarterback falls in their lap in the draft. I don't know if some of the guys like Tua, Hurt, and all those other guys will be there when they're trying to draft. I don't know if they have a first-round pick. It was said that they were trying to get it was talk about getting Cam Newton. Don't do that. Don't get Eli Manning. You don't want that. That's not going to help you. That's not going to help you. What I would do is play Daniels and try to coach up the other a player behind him, but we were on the air when they chose Trubisky, and we laughed our ass off because we knew that was the wrong choice for them. They did not see him in college. He did, and then when camp came around, and they said they had to teach him how to take the ball under the center, how to do a three-step, five-step, seven-step drop, I knew that they were in trouble. Chicago fans should have figured this out the first year that this wasn't the guy. And I think Coach Nagy is putting him out there to showcase that this is not my guy. We're having a problem with this, and we need another quarterback. So I think he was trying to support him on the, making the optics look great. But it's almost like it was torture watching him just trot out there during the New Orleans game, knowing that wasn't going to get any better. And New Orleans kind of let them kind of score in the second half of the game when the game was pretty much out of reach. But Chicago should have figured this out the day that they drafted him, that this was not the guy. And you can respond to this, Southside Al, real quick. I don't think Chicago Bears historically don't really kind of give chances to black quarterbacks. I said that a couple of weeks ago. And I don't think a black quarterback, he's got to be awful, something special for a black quarterback to come to Chicago because their organization really doesn't hold on. Other than Evans, really doesn't hold on to black quarterbacks. But your response, Southside Al, real quick. We got
Like I told you last week, Walter Payton was the only quarterback in Chicago, and he played tailback. But I agree with you that for some reason, the McCaskies do not want to have a black quarterback in Chicago. And unfortunately, most of their fan base is, Caucasian, North Side, Northwest suburbs, Western suburbs, the far end of the South Side. Not the far end of the South Side, but far South Side suburbs. So, the fan base, if they don't look like us, of course, unless he comes in and plays like Jordan, that's the only way I can foresee a black quarterback ever being in Chicago. But it's like you said, they never went and scouted Trubisky thoroughly. Nagy didn't pick him. They end up picking him because that's what the general manager wanted instead of taking a chance on picking Mahomes and Watson. And it's not paid off. It's not paid off at all.
Okay. We got a minute left. We're not gonna have time to do our last second shots. We'll get to that next week. But thanks, Southside Al, for sticking in there with us the second week in a row. You and Papa, the
Thank
only brave ones that are calling the show. We invite a lot of people, but you guys are the only two brave ones. So that's our show. If you miss any part of the show, come on back to Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you check out our first 40 on YouTube at the Goon Squad Sports Radio podcast page. And we will see you next week. Take care.
All right, take care.